afternoon. It's 4:30 and 84 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
There's a big push to educate the different populations that are at risk for the flu.
Moorhead State University has had two confirmed cases of the flu virus on campus.
The Kentucky Board of Education has approved new graduation requirements for high school students.
An investigation into sexual abuse allegations concluded no criminal action by a Kentucky pastor.
A park in Mount Sterling has been vandalized.
The state attorney general has appointed special counsel in an investigation into the Secretary of State.
In sports, Rounds volleyball team is preparing for their final regular season game.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 59. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
With high temperatures and sunny skies this week, flu season in Kentucky seems to be far away. However, officials at Moorhead State University say they've had two confirmed cases of the virus in the last week. MSU Director of Counseling and Health Services, Tanya Socha-Mower, says college students are one of the most likely populations to catch the flu.
Even though they are usually pretty healthy, they live in close proximity to each other. You know, college students tend to have roommates. They're in small classrooms on top of each other. They're eating in the dining hall, so it's easy to contract the flu from one another.
Socha-Mower says the campus clinic is currently offering vaccines for students. A vaccine clinic will be held at the Moorhead State University Mount Sterling campus on Monday.
A local health coalition has received a grant to help identify issues with transportation systems in eastern Kentucky and southern Ohio. Healthy Choices, Healthy Communities received the $35,000 planning grant from the Community Transportation Association of America. Joseph Mazawi is the VP of Missions for Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital and a member of HCHC. He says the grant could do a lot of good for people in the area.
In particular, vulnerable communities such as the elderly and those with disabilities, to really look at within our area, what are some of the barriers that they experience related to transportation, and how can we collaborate with local transportation partners, other nonprofits that serve these communities to help to better coordinate the transportation services available and to try to think about how we might be able to fill in the gaps.
HCHC is hosting several public focus groups in the area to discuss area transportation issues. For a list of those meetings, go online to www.healthychoiceshealthycommunities.com.
After brief consideration, the Kentucky Board of Education has approved new graduation requirements for high schoolers. WKYT reports the board passed the proposal unanimously this morning. Students will now be required to pass exit exams in math and reading to earn their diploma. The exams will be given to students in the 10th grade, with opportunities to retake being offered in later years. Other changes include no longer requiring students to take Algebra 2 and allowing them to select courses that fit their career path. State Education Commissioner Wayne Lewis believes the changes could give more meaning to Kentucky's diplomas. However, opponents think research should be done to determine if additional testing would improve success rates. A 30-day window where board members can make revisions based on public comments begins tomorrow.
The Ashland Community and Technical College's new president and CEO is weighing in on Kentucky's performance-based funding model. Dr. Larry Ferguson officially stepped into the role Monday. He says while some questions remain on how to make up funding differences in the model, he thinks it's a great idea.
All the variables within performance-based funding are good. And at ACTC, particularly based on our data, you know, if we measure where we're at now, we're up in all of those areas. So there really isn't a problem with performance-based funding, and it just helps us hold ourselves accountable for the things that we need to be doing anyway.
Ferguson adds there's no denying the targets required in the performance-based funding model are aimed at helping the students in Kentucky's technical colleges and universities.
One area school district is taking a proactive approach to issues with bullying. In cooperation with the Kentucky Center for School Safety, the Boyd County School District now has an online email-based tip line for any student dealing with a problem they feel needs to be addressed by administrative staff. Matt Spade is head of public relations for the district. He says while the tip line is meant to help students, it is not exclusive to them.
So if there's a parent or an aunt or an uncle, anyone who may be aware of a potential harmful or dangerous situation, they're able to report it to us. And it gives them a set of options on the website. Once you click the link, it gives you a set of options as to whether you want to report it anonymously or if you want to report it with your name.
Spade says the tip line also has options to include the urgency of the matter to be addressed. He adds it is up and running now and can be accessed through the Boyd County School District's website.
The case of a man accused of raping a Georgetown College student is on its way to the grand jury. WMKY's Naya Andweza has the story.
33-year-old Cody Arnett has been charged with rape, burglary, and tampering with physical evidence stemming from the attack on a Georgetown College student. On Sunday, September 23rd, Arnett was seen drinking at a local bar. The victim was a designated driver who picked friends up from the same bar. According to WKYT, security cameras showed Arnett walking into the victim's unlocked apartment around 3 a.m. Georgetown police reports say Arnett held the victim at knife point and raped her. The victim grabbed the knife and stabbed Arnett in self-defense. Police were called by her roommates who heard the commotion. Arnett was captured outside the residence. The case now heads to the Scott County Grand Jury. Arnett is being held in the County Detention Center on a $100,000 bond. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Andweza.
Kentucky State Police say they were unable to find any criminal activity in an investigation into sexual abuse allegations against a Kentucky pastor. Father Gerald Baker has served as pastor at churches in Owensboro, Fordsville, Whitesville, and more. Three minors accused him of sexual abuse in 2016 when he was serving as a priest of the Diocese of Owensboro. KSP Trooper Corey King tells WHOP Radio about the protocol followed during the investigation.
Something that we have to deal with is the KRS, the Kentucky Revised Statutes. Does the action rise to the level of criminal? And in this case, it was not.
On Monday, the Diocese of Owensboro released a statement saying that its investigation found the accusations against Baker to be substantiated, and he has been permanently suspended from public ministry.
Kentucky's Attorney General Andy Beshear has appointed an independent counsel in the case against Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes. According to the Lexington Herald Leader, Beshear appointed Garrett County Attorney Mark Metcalf to investigate the allegations that Grimes misused voter data to influence hiring decisions for state workers. The allegations against Grimes comes from Executive Director of the Kentucky State Board of Elections, Jared Deering. According to Deering, Grimes' staff utilized the state's voter registration database to look up party affiliation of those applying for jobs at the State Board of Elections. Kentucky's state law bans the government from hiring, firing, promoting, or demoting people based on their political or religious opinions and affiliations.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the East Kentucky Expo Center, presenting Wonderland, a holiday concert event with Cirque Musica and the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, December 13th. Tickets available now at the Appalachian Wireless box office, Ticketmaster, or on the phone at 1-800-745-3000. Wonderland with Cirque Musica and the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra, December 13th at the East Kentucky Expo Center. Tickets are at 1-800-745-3000.
Governor Matt Bevin has confirmed his plans to appeal a recent decision by the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. A 1998 law states abortion clinics must have transportation agreements in place with ambulance services and hospitals in place in the event of a medical emergency, a law that could have put Kentucky's only abortion clinic in jeopardy. Governor Bevin tells Spectrum News he believes Judge Greg Stivers struck down that law because he is a supporter of the clinic.
He clearly didn't want to do that, which is a shame since his job is to uphold the law. So he simply said that law is not constitutional. Unilaterally decided this. It will be appealed. We are appealing it to the Sixth Circuit. I'm confident that when people look at the law itself, that this will be resolved correctly. But time will tell.
Governor Bevin has been an outspoken opponent to abortion since his gubernatorial campaign began.
Mount Sterling police are investigating a vandalism at the Main Street Park over the weekend. According to WKYT, someone broke the lights mounted in the fountain at the park and also cut cables to the lighting and sound system, costing about $150 to replace. Robert Howard is the owner of a nearby music store.
I don't see how they could cut anything out of that, really, other than just for doing it just for the meanness of it, really, is what it sounds like to me.
Police say they've since installed security cameras at the park. Anyone with information about the vandalism is asked to call the Mount Sterling Police Department at 859-498-8899.
The Morehead State University Concert Choir and Chamber Singers is hosting a lasagna dinner and concert on Thursday at First Baptist Church in Morehead. Guests may eat from 5:30 to 7 p.m. with the concert starting at 7:30. Choir director Greg Detweiler explains the menu.
So we'll have a salad and bread and desserts, and as far as drinks, sweet tea, unsweet tea, lemonade, and water.
While the concert is free, admission to the dinner is $12 for adults and $8 for students. The concert choir, chamber singers, jazz vocal ensemble, and black gospel ensemble will all be performing.
Taking a look at your extended weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, a 20% chance of stray thunderstorms, partly cloudy with a low around 68. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies in the morning and an 80% chance of rain in the afternoon, highs near 83. Tomorrow night, an 80% chance of evening thunderstorms and a chance of rain overnight. We'll see cloudy with a low around 63. Friday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 5 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Current temperatures in your listening area are 82 degrees in Flemingsburg, 85 degrees in Maysville, 86 degrees in Ashland, 85 degrees in Grayson, 85 degrees in Mount Sterling, 85 degrees in Lexington, 84 degrees in Inez, and 84 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, commentator Grant Alden talks about a time when he didn't feel like he belonged and how that makes him feel right now.
I've been thinking a lot about men these last few days, because I am one, and because I have a teenage daughter. Just now, I'm thinking about a Saturday night in early October 1977, when I went to what was called an open frat party, which meant the entire school was theoretically invited, all 35,000 undergraduates attending the University of Washington. I don't remember the house. Probably somebody from my high school had pledged there, almost certainly. I hope to meet girls. To meet girls. Living in Mom's basement, driving a $500 Bondo ragtop Camaro, dressed in a $3 military surplus wool coat, hoping to meet girls at a frat party. The Huskies had started 1-3 on the season, but they'd thrashed Oregon 54-0 and would go on improbably to win the Rose Bowl. Apparently the linemen all lived in that house, or so it seemed. I remember that it was loud and hot and so crowded you could not walk, and that beer sloshed everywhere, not that I got anywhere near the keg, and that large men thumped each other and yelled joyous, angry things into the night standing on the wide staircases. That you couldn't walk without being bumped, sometimes pretty hard. I especially remember that I didn't belong. I started out as a sports writer covering my high school football team. We put a good handful of players into Division I programs, and a quarterback into the starting backfield of the Oakland Raiders. But here I very much did not belong. I was terrified. I remember that part clearly, because I am not a large man, and they could have hurt me if they'd been in the mood. I didn't belong, and was small, and very much in the wrong place. So I slunk away, and never went back. Sometimes, much of my life actually, it has felt as if there was some kind of coded entry to a secret echelon of society to which I was not welcome. And I'm an older white male. Not that I was incapable, but that I was somehow missing the stuff and the knowledge and the confidence necessary to join, and the money to be allowed in the room, to fit in. Well, I never was much good at fitting in. I get the anger at elites. That part of punk rock never really left me. Even if, at the same time, I wish very much to listen to the smartest people in the room. But all those men in suits on television, they know the code. They know the code. And it's not just the elites. Google Gamergate and Cometgate and whatever else. Those aren't prep school boys at play. They know. All those rich and successful white men, they know, and so do those who wish to be just like them. They know that somewhere in their past they went to that party, or their brother did, or their father, or their chief of staff. They might even have met their chief of staff at that party. And so, no, they won't believe the woman, because it is far more important, on lines of class and privilege, yes, and politics too, to close ranks. To deny that such things took place, much less in places they might have frequented. To deny even that their harmless fun might have consequences, because they cannot now imagine a blameless past. Here's the thing. What we are talking about is horrible, and I don't even have the words for it. Take away the politics of the moment and focus on the human beings telling their story. All the human beings telling all of their stories. And listen. Please. Because we have a problem, and it runs deep, and it is not ancient history. Every day, I watch a great number of women I know and respect relive the worst moments of their lives on Facebook, trying desperately to be heard, at last. I wonder how it might have felt to have been a young woman at that party in 1977, even if, at the time, they seemed unapproachable and in control and in their natural environment. And I wonder how we can solve a problem that much of the country seems quite pleased to ignore, thank you. I wonder if we can set aside the passions of present political advantage and have a conversation without yelling at each other. And in the meantime, I am still thinking about what it means to be a man and what I can say to my teenage daughter.
Grant Alden is the host of Grant Alden's Field Notes here on Morehead State Public Radio. It's 447 and 84 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The Rowan County Volleyball Vikings wrap up regular season play tomorrow. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Lady Viking volleyball team is gearing up for their final regular season game tomorrow. Rowan's gals are coming off a loss to top-ranked Russell last night at home. The team plays host to Greenup County tomorrow at 7 p.m. Coach Steve Walters says the Lady Musketeers only have two wins on their season.
They've been in some, but I think they've pretty much kind of had hard times. Last couple of years, actually, I think they've had some hard times.
Rowan, meanwhile, is looking good going into postseason play. District tournament action starts on Monday. The Lady Vikings face off with Bath County at home at 6 p.m. The Morehead State Soccer Eagles dropped a double overtime game at EKU yesterday, 4-3. The Eagles have lost the last three games they've played, all of which have been on the road. The last game Morehead won was their last home game on the 16th of September against SIU Edwardsville. But the Eagles play Austin Peay at home on Sunday at 2 p.m. as they hope to keep their home streak going. Morehead coach Warren Lipka says that while Morehead is trying to find their groove, the Governors have built momentum over the past few games.
But I think we've gone into five overtimes this year and lost three of them in double overtime and that. And, you know, you get one of those in there and we win a game, we can gain some momentum. It makes a difference. So, and I think that's what they did. They've won a few games. They've got a bit of momentum. But you know what? It's each and every game is different. So we're looking to make a home statement on Sunday afternoon.
Morehead is 2-11, while EKU is 7-4-1. University of Kentucky head football coach Mark Stoops says he isn't underestimating 3-2 Texas A&M during game prep this week, and Aggies coach Jimbo Fisher is sharing that same sentiment. Fisher was the head coach at Florida State, where Stoops worked as his defensive coordinator. On top of that, Fisher tells Texas A&M Athletics the Wildcats' Benny Snell puts him in mind of former NFL great Emmitt Smith.
I mean, they can run the football, Snell, the running back. I've never seen a guy that can take 1 yard run, look like a 1 yard run, and all of a sudden it's 8. Their offensive line does a great job inside blocking. He finds holes, wiggles, and all of a sudden, boom, he's out of there for a big play. I mean, just constantly just competing and how he makes yards and what he does. The quarterback's very dynamic and explosive. You have to keep leverage on him. He can run. You think you get caught up in that run game, then they throw the deep ball over your head.
Kickoff at College Station is 7 p.m. on Saturday. Tennessee reserve lineman Riley Locklear has undergone surgery for a meniscus tear. The injury occurred Saturday during Tennessee's 38-12 loss at number 2 Georgia. Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt said today during the SEC coaches teleconference that Locklear underwent surgery for a very small meniscus tear. And Louisville football coach Bobby Petrino is stressing a single-game focus before thinking of bigger goals, such as 9th consecutive postseason appearance. An opportunity looms for the Cardinals against Georgia Tech in an inaugural matchup between teams seeking their first ACC victory. But that's still a tall order for the Cardinals after giving one away to Florida State. Bowl eligibility could be even more challenging with number 4 Clemson among their upcoming opponents. The Jacksonville Jaguars have ruled out running back Leonard Fournette 4 days before the team's game at Kansas City. Coach Doug Marrone announced today that Fournette and cornerback DJ Hayden will miss the road game Sunday. It was somewhat of a surprise move considering NFL teams are rarely rule out players before Friday. Fournette re-injured his right hamstring in a 31-12 victory against the New York Jets last Sunday, considering he missed 2.5 games after initially tweaking it and came back too soon. The 3-1 Jaguars are expected to be much more cautious this time around. Single-game ticket availability for Kentucky men's basketball games will be offered this season through 2 public on-sale dates, the first of which is today at 5 p.m. and will include all non-conference games except for Kansas. Tickets will be available exclusively online at Ticketmaster.com. The second on-sale date, slated for November 20th at 5 p.m., will consist of all SEC games as well as the Kansas game. A limited number of premium floor and courtside single-game ticket options are available through the K-Fund. A New Jersey financial advisor is testifying at a college basketball corruption trial about how he became the bag man for a secret cash payment to a highly prized high school prospect. Manish Sood testified in Manhattan federal court today that he gave about $19,000 last year to the father of top recruit Brian Bowen Jr. He said the money was meant to get Bowen to commit to the University of Louisville. After the payments were revealed, Bowen left Louisville. The school also has fired Coach Rick Pitino in the scandal. And lastly in sports, the Morehead State men's and women's golf teams wrapped up play in their respective events yesterday. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
The Morehead State men's team played record-breaking golf at the Hummingbird Intercollegiate, finishing the 2-day event placing runner-up. The Eagles' previous season and program lows were demolished as all 5 Eagle golfers fired sub-70 rounds. As a team, Morehead State fired a final round 271 to establish a new program low for 18 holes. The Morehead State women's golf team wrapped up play at the F&M Bank APSU Intercollegiate, placing 7th in the 11-team field. The Eagles fired rounds of 326, 312, and 318 to fashion a 54-hole total of 956. Playing from the top of the lineup, junior Gypsy Hutchinson carded scores of 79, 74, and 78 to finish tied for 17th. Her second round 74 marked the lowest individual 18-hole total for the Eagles in the event. The Eagles return to team play in 2 weeks. The men will play at the Elon Phoenix Invitational, and the women will be competing at the Dayton Flyer Invitational in Kettering, Ohio. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
And that's going to do it for sports for today. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football hosts San Diego at noon on Saturday, and soccer welcomes Austin Peay at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Volleyball's next home match is Wednesday, October 10th, with UT Martin. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks were mixed, with investors grappling with the positive and negative effects from rising interest rates after the release of strong U.S. economic data. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 54.45 at 26,828.39. The S&P 500 was up 2.08 at 2925.51. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 25.54 to finish at 8,025.08. Bank stocks were strong today as Citigroup rose about 1% and Bank of America gained 1.4%. Regional banks were the biggest gainers in the financial space as the SPDR S&P Regional Banking ETF climbed 2.4% on the day. And bank stocks were strong as interest rates went up. The benchmark 10-year note yield traded near 3.14%, hitting its highest level since 2011. The 30-year bond, meanwhile, reached its highest level since October 2014, and rates were boosted by the release of stronger-than-expected economic data. Private payrolls increased by 230,000 in September, the most since February, according to the ADP report that was released this morning. Economists polled going into the report thought that it would actually show a gain of 185,000 jobs, and this report is often seen as a preview to the government's non-farm payrolls report, which is set for release this Friday morning. General Motors shares gained 2.1% after the company announced Honda is investing in GM's Cruise Holdings subsidiary. The two automakers will work toward building an autonomous vehicle. GM also said Honda's investment put Cruise's valuation at $14.6 billion. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.3% to finish at $76.20 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,202.70 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were up today with the Stock 600 index gaining 0.5%. In Asia, stocks were mixed with the Shanghai Composite up 1% and the Nikkei average in Tokyo down 0.7%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and Boeing, and the worst performers were Procter & Gamble and Coca-Cola. In the S&P 500, the best performers were SVB Financial and Holly Frontier, while the worst performers were International Paper and Edwards Life Sciences. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 10 cents at 83.57, CSX up 66 cents at 74.99, AEP down $1.14 at 70.21, AK Steel up 11 cents at 4.94, Marathon Petroleum up 3.16 at 86.44, and Kroger was up 31 cents, finishing at 29.39. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. Basketball and racquetball courts, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures offers a bouldering wall, camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddle boards for Eagle Lake. Towel service and group fitness classes included with all memberships, day passes, and community memberships now available for fall. Bowling lanes open Monday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Laughlin Building. More information at 783-2083.
Taking a look at some announcements and events coming up in the region, Rowan Water Incorporated has issued a boil water advisory for customers on Pond Lick and all side roads in the area. As a precautionary measure, customers are advised to boil their drinking water until samples can be taken and evaluated. Rowan Water says thanks for your cooperation in this matter.
MSU Choirs will host a lasagna dinner and concert fundraiser from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Thursday, October 4th at the First Baptist Church on Main Street in Moorhead. Dinner includes lasagna, salad, bread, drinks, and dessert. The concert features performances by the MSU Concert Choir, chamber singers, jazz vocal, and black gospel ensembles. Cost is $12 for adults and $8 for students.
Shop local at the First Friday Outdoor Market for 4 to 7 p.m. on Friday, October 5th on the lawn of the Rowan County Arts Center. Items made locally in Rowan County and surrounding areas, including arts and crafts, jewelry, woodworking, and homegrown produce. And that's going to do it today for Mountain Edition. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Brian Courtney, Peyton Stewart, Naya Andweza, Chanasty Davis, Shaw Marie Mosley, Logan Pemberton, Sean Haynes, Jack Cottle, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. WUKY's Haley Hansen, KNN's Paul Miles, Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Grant Alden. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.